it's picked up the pace a little bit. It's 10 o'clock. If you're slow moving in the 9 o'clock hour, you got to pick it up. Get out there and enjoy the day. What a beautiful day in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Just absolutely awesome. Chamber of Commerce, lock this one up. Take this for the rest of the spring and summer. Absolutely. You are listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Chris Bullock is back at the studio. My name is Brad Porter, and along with Rudy Salazar, we are broadcasting live from the Central Bank of the Midwest Kentucky branch in Lawrence, Kansas, 300 West 9th Street. It is Shredit Day. If you have sensitive documents, particularly financial documents that you don't want to keep around your house anymore, but you can't throw them away, you can bring them down and just have them shredded for free. Just pull it up. They got this big truck out there. The bank employees will help you unload your car. I've seen some people have like boxes of documents, and they have people helping you unload. So please come on down. And if you are coming down with your documents to be shredded, please bring some canned goods for harvesters. They've got the signature blue barrel set up right next to the truck. Just hand them your canned goods, and they'll put them in the barrel for you. So we're having some fun doing that. It's a great day today. Although when Rudy and I pulled up, about 10 minutes after we pulled up, a Lawrence police car wheeled up. And Rudy and I were like, whoa, what happened? I mean, we're broadcasting in front of a bank. Is something happening we don't know about? And the nice officer, I did not get her name, but she came up and she said, I heard we got a signal for an alarm. Did you guys try to open the door? And I said, no, there's employees inside, though. And so she looked around. And but man alive, she rolled up. I was like, what did we do? I didn't want to be in trouble on a Saturday morning in Lawrence. I like the Lawrence Police Department, though. Whenever we've come over here for, in the past, when I've been over here in my previous job in television, whenever the NCAA tournament is going on or the Final Four is going on, we always would send a crew to Lawrence, and the officers would be walking down the street patrolling and that sort of thing, and usually one or two would stop and say, you guys okay? Anybody bothering you? So Lawrence Police Department, you guys are awesome. We want to welcome another awesome guy, our good friend Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. The draft's been over for a little over a week now, and the undrafted free agent signings are flowing fast and furious. Matt, I thought you'd get a little bit of a break after the draft, but no, because not only are the free agent signings coming, you got rookie camp this weekend.
Yeah, there's just no break. Is there in the NFL anymore?
Not at all. So this rookie minicamp, before we get into some of the names, the rookie minicamps, I've covered them before, but you really cannot tell how much information these players are getting hit with, whether they're draft picks, whether they're undrafted free agents. I think they also have first-year players who are new to the program that can come this weekend. What exactly is the coaching staff hitting them with this weekend?
Ooh, man, pretty much anything and everything. I mean, they're not asking them to know the full playbook or anything this weekend, and it's a little bit pared down, but, you know, you're right. I mean, it's an overwhelming experience. Andy Reid every year talks about the fact that, you know, these guys show up for the mini camp, and day one, it's disaster. No one knows where they're going. It looks like they've never played football before. It's a disaster. And, you know, by day three, I mean, it's a whole different world. I mean, and you know, in these 3 days, you do learn a lot. I mean, you'll know, the coaches and the scouts will know today whether, you know, one of their draft picks was a good move, or whether one of their undrafted free agents is going to be a diamond. And, you know, and over these 3 days, I mean, you'll learn a lot. And that's what this is for. I mean, get them acclimated, because here in the next week, they're going to be playing with the big guys, and it's a quick acclimation for these young players.
We're speaking with Matt Derrick. You can follow him on Twitter, @MattDerrick, just like it sounds. He has ChiefsDigest.com rookie minicamp going on this weekend at the Arrowhead Practice Facility. Matt, I've had the fortune over the years to become friends with players either towards the end of their NFL careers or in retirement, just because you can't be friends with a guy while they're playing. But I've had the good fortune to meet some very good people over the years, and I remember several years ago, former Chief safety Mark Collins, who was a fantastic safety for the Chiefs and before that the New York Giants, he brought in a couple of playbooks into the TV studios one day, and he said, do you guys want to see what an NFL playbook looks like? I was like, sure. I thought it would be, you know, simple diagrams like what I was used to from, you know, back when I was a kid. But I was so overwhelmed by the sheer volume of information. And then it's, well, here's the base lineup. Here's the variation on it. Here's how we're going to change it. We have Cougar. We have Lion. We have Tiger. We have Roughneck. We have Cowboy. And they change all these terms. And it might be moving one position over. And it's just, I know in college they have pretty good playbooks, but the NFL is unlike anything these guys have ever seen before.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and Andy Reid's notorious for having maybe the deepest playbook in the league. And, you know, there's guys who have said that his playbook is 400-plus pages. And that doesn't take into account that, you know, from year to year, you're going to change out. Each one of those plays has, you know, exactly a variation. And I haven't seen an Andy Reid playbook. I've seen an Andy Reid play sheet. And that thing in itself is a complicated mess. I mean, it's a lot to know exactly what each and every, because you're right. I mean, you've got every one of these plays, but that doesn't, you're running a lot of variations, and you can have subtle changes in these in each individual play where a guy has a different responsibility.
And the one thing that has to be, I don't know if it's frustrating because the coaches know what to expect, but you have all the rookies out there, and they're all in the same place. It's not like, you know, training camp in St. Joe where maybe Mecole Hardman gets to run a series with the ones where everybody else knows exactly what they're doing, and maybe he's not quite sure. These 3 days at Arrowhead this weekend, nobody knows what they're doing.
No one knows. And you will have guys going the wrong direction, and, you know, you'll see a lot of balls on the ground because of that. Even though there's not tackling, you'll see some guys get clobbered every once in a while because they're in the wrong spot or went the wrong way. And like I said, I mean, every year you see it, and day one is usually an absolute disaster. I mean, sometimes I wonder why coaches just don't quit in the middle of day one of rookie minicamp. But, you know, these guys are good, so they get up to speed pretty quickly. So, you know, by day three, it starts looking like real football.
We're talking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, talking about the Chiefs rookie camp going on this weekend at the Arrowhead practice facility. So have you gotten a chance to see some guys up close yet? I know Mecole Hardman is, the guy who's taken first by a team is always going to get the most attention. In particular, with Mecole Hardman being a wide receiver, being a punt returner / kick returner, being that maybe Tyreek Hill is not going to play. Maybe he is going to play. I don't know. But he's going to get a lot of the attention. Have you had a chance to see him up close yet?
Not yet. Everything's been still kind of off limits here. We're going to be seeing the first guys here. We got the media availability at noon where they're going to have some of them start coming in to do interviews. And then 1:20 is practice when we'll get to see him. I've seen some of these. I saw Colin Saunders. I saw him at the combine. And, yeah, I mean, he's a big dude. I mean, he is. So interested in seeing him, especially compared to some of the teammates out on the field.
And Colin Saunders, not only a big dude, but apparently very acrobatic with his backflips.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have a strong base. You got to be pretty nimble. Can't have a lot of fat on you to be able to do backflips like he does.
Right. Well, Hardman is obviously going to, as I said, he'll get all the discussion or a majority of the discussion because of the position he plays and the player he might have to step up and help replace. The player to me that fascinates me, and plus also Hardman played in the SEC, and folks around here watch SEC games, so you have a little familiarity with Hardman. I'm not sure a lot of folks sit around watching ACC football, and in particular Virginia football, but Juan Thornhill, every time I watch his tape, every time I read through his numbers, every time I read through the scouting reports, I get more and more excited to see what he can do, whether it's rookie camp, whether it's mini camp, whether it's training camp at the, you know, in July and August. That's a player I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, I think he really is kind of of all the players that the Chiefs drafted this year, the one who has the chance to start immediately, I think is Thornhill. You're right. I mean, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but you read the scouting reports and watch film, and the common message is that he's really instinctive, you know, that he just has great ability to diagnose plays. And you look at his production in college, I mean, that he's a ball hawk. I mean, that's there. I mean, you can see that. And that says something. Because at Virginia, you're playing Clemson. I mean, you're playing some teams in the ACC. So it hasn't been weak competition or anything. He's got good size, I mean, and he fills a need. I mean, the Chiefs have a lot of guys at safety who are really comfortable playing up close to the line of scrimmage. And they do value versatility. And yeah, all those guys can be interchangeable. They can move around. But they don't really have that true rangy center field, sideline to sideline, deep guy at that position. And Thornhill can do that. I mean, that's really more of his strength. So, and that's something that I think has been missing from this team the last couple of years.
We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, rookie minicamp going on out at the Arrowhead practice facility this weekend. We're talking about Juan Thornhill, the safety out of Virginia, taken in the second round by the Chiefs. You mentioned versatility, and that's one of the things, Thornhill, you and I were both there on draft night when they put the draftees on the speakerphone and we get to ask questions. That's one of the things that Thornhill brought up. He said, you know, I don't really watch a lot of Chiefs football, being that I played, you know, at Virginia. But he watched a lot of Tyrann Mathieu when Mathieu was at LSU and talked about his versatility, how he's excited to work with him. And in Thornhill's case, he played a couple of seasons as a corner before he moved back to the safety. And then he told us, you were there, he told us that having played quarterback on offense in high school, that's helped him out because he believes he knows how to read a quarterback when the quarterback is trying to look him off, what he's trying to do with his eyes and those sorts of things, and that's where he thinks he has a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you see, there's a lot of guys that are like that, that played quarterback in high school, maybe they played offense at some point, because if you're a corner, there's a reasonable chance that you played another position. Sometimes you're maybe a wide receiver that just doesn't quite have the hands to be a receiver. There's a lot of former quarterbacks who make the move in high school and go to corner in college. So the skills do translate, and I think it does help because, like I said, you see a lot of guys that have some offensive experience that I think it really does benefit them when they go to the other side, because you do. I mean, you're right. You know some of the tells. You know some of the you really get instinctive about some of the moves, and maybe you predetermine what a quarterback's going to do, even if it's not somebody you've seen before.
Well, I'm certainly excited. Juan Thornhill's the guy I'm really excited to see, and then we'll have to see if, you know, down in the sixth round they went and got a corner in Rashad Fenton out of South Carolina. You know, they brought back Keith Reeser, who played in that Alliance of American Football and was playing pretty darn good, actually. So we'll have to see where Fenton fits in. It's tough for sixth-round corners to find a spot, but the Chiefs, it's not exactly like the Chiefs are buried in talent at that position.
Yeah, they've got some questions there. I mean, they have numbers now. I think what you worry about is just the depth of top-line guys. I mean, you're really crossing your fingers that Bashaud Breeland can bounce back and be what he was a couple years ago, coming off the injury and coming off last year in Green Bay. Keith Reeser is a nice guy. I mean, the Chiefs have liked him before, and he did very, very well in the Alliance. So you do have some questions about, you know, but you know, he's never proven to be that number one, number two guy. Traverse Ward looked like he's a solid number two guy last year at the end of the season, but now you need to see if he can do that over a whole 16 games. They do have some numbers there, but, you know, depth is an issue, and especially starting depth. Because right now you don't have a clear-cut idea of who maybe your top three corners are. And then once you skip to number four or number five, who's going to, you know, be key players, not sure you know who those guys are yet and if they're proven players.
We're talking Chiefs football with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. Chiefs rookie camp going on at Arrowhead this weekend. My name is Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is out here with me as we're broadcasting live from Central Bank of the Midwest, the Kentucky branch in Lawrence, Kansas, 300 West 9th Street. If you have sensitive documents or financial documents you want shredded, today's the day. Until noon, the people from Shreddit are here. They will do it for free. You just pull up. They got a big circle of cars coming in. It's actually a pretty good line. Folks from the bank will help you unload all your documents, and then they'll shred them for you for free. Also, if you're coming to shred those documents, please bring some canned goods for harvesters, as they got the blue barrel set up out there, and they'll get your cans in there and get that all taken care of. All right, Matt, one more draft pick to kind of run over with you, and it's not the glamour spot, but the Chiefs have had success over the years in drafting centers. You know, whether it's, you know, Tim Grunhard, whether it's Mitch Morse. And unfortunately, you know, Mitch got expensive and signed a big money contract with Buffalo. I'm happy for him. I love Mitch. I think he's a great dude. But in the sixth round, the Chiefs go get Nick Allegretti from Illinois. And, you know, I think Austin Reeder is kind of slotted in at that center spot right now. But a sixth-round pick, it'd be tough. But if they think this guy's got a little talent, he at least would have a little time to learn.
Yeah, he's a really intriguing guy. I mean, he long-time starter at Illinois, so he's got a lot of experience. And that's sometimes overlooked with offensive linemen because – that's a position where, you know, it's sometimes tough to develop guys. I mean, because you really need playing time to get good at that spot. So him having so much starting experience at Illinois, high-level football in the Big Ten, I think that's a real advantage. He's a good size. He's trimmed down a little bit from his senior year, so he feels like he's a little bit more mobile. But you look at him, and he really does. I mean, he fits the model of what the Chiefs like to get as offensive linemen and mold them into what they need. He's a multiple-position guy. He can play any of those interior positions, you know, guard to guard. Center, he's played a little bit. I think maybe a third of his career at Illinois was at center. Played it at the Senior Bowl. He's comfortable there. I mean, you could certainly make the move there. But I know for the short term, you know, the Chiefs do envision him as maybe just a multiple-swing position guy. And that'd be really valuable this year. And if he can compete and he can push for a starting job with Austin Reeder at that center spot, be just the first guy off the bench at guard, that would be a huge get for this team.
Speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, just one or two final things for you here. I didn't know that there were people out there who graded the undrafted free agent class, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Thor Nystrom from Roto World covers college football in the NFL draft. He ranks the organizations based on their undrafted free agents, and he ranks the Chiefs number one right ahead of the Saints on a tiebreaker. I'm not going to get into it because it's a long explanation for how he does this or what he does, but the Chiefs did make some news yesterday when they signed a wide receiver free agent from Syracuse and gave him the biggest bonus ever, or the biggest signing ever, of $100,000.
How they go about acquiring those guys, undrafted free agents, it can be very competitive. And sometimes there's a benefit to being undrafted versus going in the seventh round because now you can choose your spot and
right.
You can get maybe a bit more guaranteed money. So the fact that, the Chiefs were throwing around some bonus money to some guys at different spots, definitely threw some money at Custis to bring him in. It does say a little bit about, you know, where they feel like they are at receiver, that they want to bring in some more help in competition. And maybe that's related to Tyreek Hill, perhaps not. But, you know, I mean, that says a lot about what they think of him, that they're willing to throw around that much money to bring him in. There's a few other guys that they toss some guaranteed money and some signing bonus money at, too. That's what you got to do. I mean, that's what these teams have to do to differentiate themselves and beat out the competition, because there's some of the guys that the Chiefs are bringing in, there was a lot of competition for them.
We're speaking with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com. One final thing for you, Matt, just to have, I don't know if a laugh or not is the right thing to do, but it's the Raiders, so I kind of want to laugh at them a little bit. They went out and spent a big chunk of money on the left tackle from the New England Patriots to bring him in, and then John Gruden says this week, no, he's going to play right tackle. They gave him the biggest contract in NFL history for a left tackle, and they're going to switch him to right tackle. Does anybody in Oakland have a clue about what they're supposed to do?
Short answer, no. Maybe the long answer is yes with a but. But I've ceased to be able to understand anything that the Raiders usually do. But since Gruden came back, it's gotten almost to a new level. He's trying to outthink everybody. I mean, I think he's trying to play some four-dimensional chess or something. It's just you look at some of the things they do, and you just scratch your head about what are they thinking. And yeah, I mean, give him that kind of money and then say you're going to move a guy to the right side. They got a plan. I don't know if it's going to work, but. Gruden and Mike Mayock, they've got a plan of some sort.
Well, to me, it's all predicated on just getting to Vegas. It's survive in advance. I really don't think they care about this season much at all. I think they want to open with a bang in Vegas. Maybe they make slight improvements this year, but I don't think the goal is to really be all that competitive. And they'll build for Vegas and then open up and hopefully have big crowds there. Because if I, Honestly, if I was an Oakland fan and I lived in Oakland, I wouldn't go to any of these games and give them my money on the way out the door. But it's funny to watch. As long as it helps the Chiefs, that's fine with me. Hey, Matt, it's a beautiful day outside today. I know you got work to do out at the Arrowhead practice facility, but hopefully you can get out in time tonight and you and your wife can have a nice night, maybe out on the patio or something like that, or go find a rooftop bar somewhere and just enjoy this great weather.
We'll definitely do that. You need to do the same thing, Brian. I'm glad. But you're outside today, right?
I am outside. Me and Rudy Salazar are outside, and we're just it couldn't be a more beautiful day right now in Lawrence, Kansas.
Absolutely gorgeous.
All right. Hey, Matt, thank you very much.
Great talking to you, Brad. Take care.
All right. That is Matt Derrick, one of the best, one of my all-time favorites. I worked with him for years at the television station where we used to work together, and then that company made some changes, and a lot of people don't work there anymore, so whatever. But Matt's a good dude. Please check out his website, ChiefsDigest.com. Check him out on Twitter, at Matt Derrick. All the good stuff. Rookie minicamp going on at Arrowhead, the Arrowhead practice facility this weekend. Guys are just getting overwhelmed. I mean, they're getting entire editions of encyclopedias thrown at them this weekend. They won't be able to retain it before the next round of OTAs. I guarantee that. I mean, some guys will study hard. I get that. But a majority of them, it's going to take a long time for this NFL stuff to stick. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll kind of expand on some themes there. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to head to Louisville, site of today's Kentucky Derby, where Andy Sweeney will join us from ESPN Louisville. By the way, congratulations. For those of you who have been listening to 810 for a long time, you'll remember Jason Anderson worked at 810, and then he went down to the Louisville affiliate to kind of establish that station down there and has built a great career down there. He and his wife had a baby this week, and that's just awesome. So congratulations to Jason Anderson. Quick timeout. We are broadcasting live from the Central Bank of the Midwest, Kentucky branch in Lawrence, Kansas, 300 West 9th Street. It is Shred It Day. If you have sensitive documents, financial papers you don't want anybody to see or you need to get rid of but can't throw them away, bring them on by. They got a big shredder set up. It's going nonstop. And also, if you're bringing your documents, bring canned goods for harvesters. So all kinds of good stuff. Come and see us. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is out here with me. Chris Bolig at the studio. And you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sometimes, especially on the weekends, I like to let that music groove a little bit longer. That's another good one, Chris. Who is this?
It's a band called Boy Pablo, and the song is called Feeling Lonely. A little groovy track right there.
Nice. I like that one. You know what we ought to do is Gary Lezak, he does the weather on the Border Patrol every morning with Steven and Nate and Jake, and sometimes he puts out like his own private or his own personal CD of just his favorite songs. We got to come up maybe with a little Sports Saturday, Sports Sunday best of CD. I mean, you can't sell it anywhere, anything like that, but just, you know, something that we can listen to.
Well, yeah. I mean, if anybody has Spotify, I think you can just follow me on Spotify, Chris Bolig. A lot of my, you know, music for these bumps comes from a lot of my Spotify playlists. So, check it out if you have Spotify, if that's your way of listening to music, as I know many people do have Spotify now.
Jed Marshall used to yell at me for not having Pandora on my phone, and then I finally got it, but I don't use it as much as I thought I would, but he would always tell me, here's the name of the song in the band, go to Pandora, it's right there, and then I got Pandora, so now I'll have to check out Spotify. I don't have Spotify, so just old guys got to learn these new things. All right, and Spotify is not exactly new, but anyway, I digress. My name is Brad Porter. You are listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. An absolutely just gorgeous day, Kansas City and all over the Midwest. Rudy Salazar is out here with me on location. We are at Central Bank of the Midwest, the Kentucky branch in Lawrence, Kansas, 300 West 9th Street. And the reason we are here is Shred It Day. Rudy and I did one of these a couple of weeks ago in Overland Park, but today we're in Lawrence. There are cars lined up around the block. If you've got sensitive documents, if you got those, you know, the old bank checks, financial information that you just can't throw in the trash because somebody's going to find out your business, you can pull right up to the shredded truck, and there's a line. Don't get me wrong, there's a line. But they have people from the bank that are going to help you unload your documents because there are people here with, like, boxes and crates of documents. So come on down. It's free. And if you're coming out here, please bring by some canned goods for the Harvesters Food Network. They have the big blue barrel set up. You just drop those right in, and everybody here has been very helpful. So come on out and see us. You can wave to me and Rudy. Just don't yell at us, okay? We'd appreciate that. We just wrapped up with Matt Derrick, ChiefsDigest.com, talking about rookie minicamp going on at the Arrowhead practice facility this week. Hey, we got somebody waving at us. All right, how you doing? I lost my train of thought for a second, but the rookie minicamp going
rookie
on.
Rookie minicamp, Brad. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Rookie minicamp. I've covered it, I don't know, 20-something times, dozens of times, whatever it is. It's overwhelming for the rookies and first-year players, because I believe first-year players are allowed to come to this rookie minicamp too. The drafted players, the undrafted free agents, the first-year players. The NFL... The way things are done in the NFL, for as much as we say, like, the Chiefs offense is now taking on more of a college personality with Patrick Mahomes, which is true, the way an offense or a defense or way special teams function in the National Football League is so much more difficult than college. I mean, college, how many teams do you see, Chris, you can jump in anytime, how many teams do you see where the quarterback comes up to the line of scrimmage? Then he steps back and all the wide receivers turn to the sideline. There's a backup quarterback or an assistant coach holding up a sign with like four or six pictures on it, and you know which picture to look at, and that tells you the play. That ain't how it works in the National Football League. There's no signboard in the National Football League. You might get a few hand signals on audibles once in a while, but it's on you. In the National Football League, it's on you. The coaches are not going to hold your hand. The play clock is, what, 30 seconds? College, it's 35, 40, whatever it is. Sometimes I lose try, especially in the middle of basketball season. The play clock is not that long in the National Football League. There's no time to be screwing around and stepping back and looking over to the sidelines for somebody to bail you out. You have to do it. You got to figure out how to do it, and you have to do it. And these 3 days are a big lesson in you figuring out that you better get it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, as you said before, I mean, definitely it has really, you know, changed in terms of how, you know, they have tried that college coaches and, or I mean, not college coaches, I mean, NFL coaches have tried to mold, you know, their new quarterback prospects into, you know, adapting to what they can do and not trying to make them adapt what they want them to do, if that makes any sense. Like, you are seeing that these quarterbacks are not – the game is more tailored to them in the NFL now than it has been in the past, you know, 15 years, and not like a straight-up, you know, five-step, seven-step drops. It's more – a lot more shotgun, a lot more read option being used now. The RPO, as they would say, in the NFL nowadays. But as you said, they're not – it's not like in college you have every – you know, the line, the receivers, the running backs, and the quarterback all have different signs that they're reading on the sideline for a lot of these teams, especially in the Big 12, but all across college football, about what they are supposed to do on that specific play, instead of getting in a huddle, instead of a play call being, you know, uttered out by the quarterback in the huddle. So yes, it takes some time, and it's good for these rookies right now to get in here and start to, you know, sponge up all of that information for themselves to, you know, help prepare them as they go into OTAs and then into minicamp, or not into minicamp, into training camp, my bad.
Well, they have OTAs, they have mini camps. It's practice. I don't know why they can't just call it practice, but everything has to be designated for who can be there, who can't, how long you can practice, how long you can't, how long you can meet, how long you can't. Those signboard things, one of the funniest things I saw during my at the old TV station where I used to work, we were big into covering high school sports, especially high school football on Friday night. And there was a game, I cannot remember who it was, but you know Mick Schaefer, 41 Action News. He was out at this game shooting highlights, and on the signboard was a picture of Mick Schaefer in his suit and tie from the TV station, which I just thought was hilarious. It was a little bit different. Yeah, these guys coming in for the rookie. I'm not sure. They're probably not going to be all that anxious to tell us how much they're throwing at him. It's probably not going to be a ton. It's probably just going to give him a baseline of what they're going to see at the OTAs and then ahead in training camp. So they'll have a baseline put in over these couple of days, these couple 3 days, but they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to dive through all, you know, 400 pages of the offensive playbook or 200 pages of the defense. I'm not sure how many the defense has, but they're not going to go start to finish. I'm pretty sure of that. This is kind of this is what we call a scene setter. This is what you can expect. These are our basic concepts. Please go study them and don't be screwing around while you're away from the facility.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really get to hit on the day three picks as much because we had our show before, you know, the third day started. But is there anybody specific that you like from that third day, whether it be Darwin Thompson, Rashad Fenton, or Nick Allegretti from Illinois?
Well, here's the thing, and I read because I'm not – look, I'm here to tell you I'm not a scouting expert. You're going to have some people – am I repeating myself? I said this earlier in the show about the Kentucky Derby. I'm not an expert, okay? I'm not a scouting expert. I have some general ideas. I like what I've seen and what I've read about Rashad Fenton, the sixth-round pick, the corner out of South Carolina. I like some of those things that people have said about him. But, again, as Matt Derrick said, they have some numbers there, but maybe not the depth they need. Darwin Thompson. I got a lot of people, not a lot, I don't have the people. I read a lot of scouts who drill down into players who are a little more obscure that don't play at Michigan or Ohio State or Alabama or Georgia or Clemson. And the folks who cover or did the deep dive on Darwin Thompson, the running back from Utah State, really excited about this kid and thought maybe he slipped a little bit. But the note from Adam Teicher at ESPN.com when he was doing up his kind of the things these players need to do to help the team, he had mentioned how, you know, Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde both run, what, 220, 225, and this kid is pared down. He's about 5'8", right around 200, give or take 5 pounds. But, you know, you rush for 1,100 yards, that still means something to me. Catches passes out of the backfield, that means something to me. So I'm excited. On those day three picks, I'm excited to see Darwin Thompson.
Yeah, I think that's the one that people have been most highly on. Just, you know, how his explosiveness, his, you know, lateral ability, his cutting, his ability to catch it out of the backfield as well. A lot of people have been comping him to, you know, a Tariq Cohen. Someone of that nature would be phenomenal. Tariq Cohen is such a, you know, an asset for the Bears. But hopefully, I mean, if you can get something out of at least one of those guys, if you can get at least they're playing at some point, not next year, maybe not even the year after that, but at least by, you know, year three, if one of those guys can be playing a good amount of snaps, I think that's a success for the Chiefs. I think you got to look at that as a big success.
And that's one thing the Chiefs and Andy Reid have been able to do well the last few years is mix and match different kinds of running backs. You know, the signing of Damian Williams from the Dolphins, he was, what, 4 years with the Dolphins? I was stunned when the Dolphins cut him, first of all. It's not like the Miami Dolphins are running wild all over the AFC East. So I was stunned that Damian Williams was cut by the Dolphins, and I was very happy he was signed by the Chiefs. My only concern was he wasn't going to get to play very much. And then, you know, because of an injury here or there, or Kareem Hunt being suspended and eventually cut, Damian Williams got his chance. He showed well. I'm not saying for 16 games he's going to be gangbusters, but my point that I'm going back to is the Chiefs have been very good at mixing and matching those running backs, whether it was Damian Williams, who they picked up from Miami, whether it was Darrell Williams, who was undrafted out of LSU, was able to score a couple of touchdowns last year, was good in the mix, and over the years, Charcandrick Rest and Spencer Ware, and on and on and on. So if Darwin Thompson shows the Chiefs anything at training camp, you can bet they're going to find a way to use him. They know how to use running backs. They just do.
Yeah, and I think the Andy Reid system, you know, putting guys in motion, putting, you know, it's hard to key on a certain player when you have that much motion, that much movement, and that much deception within his offense. So it definitely benefits the running backs, especially in the screen game. How much Andy Reid uses the screen game and, you know, opening up space for some of these running backs, especially a guy like Darwin Thompson, who is hard to tackle in space and who is an absolute beast. I mean, you saw how built he is. He's a
yes.
pinball. So I think it's going to be – I'm excited to see, you know, what he does in training camp and how the coaches, you know, when he starts to get pads on and goes against, you know, on when he's on the scout team and whatnot, how he is against, you know, some of the starters and whatnot. One of the, you know, undrafted free agents that I'm liking right now, I think it's a good pickup for the Chiefs, Gary Johnson from Texas. He's a little undersized for a linebacker. But he ran a 4.43 at the combine. That's phenomenal for a linebacker. He's only 226. It's kind of I kind of comp him to kind of a Dorian O'Daniel in terms of size and, you know, athletically, kind of that same build. But definitely a guy as a special teamer that you could see, you know, making some impacts and maybe. You could see him definitely making the team and being a guy on special teams that you could see being an impact and maybe get some snaps here and there and not next year maybe or the year after. I don't know, but I like that pickup. I saw him a lot in the Big 12 this year, and I think he could be a nice pickup for this team, especially on special teams.
And the Chiefs have had some decent success over the years, not only with linebackers from Texas, one Derek Johnson's going to end up in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, by the way, but some of the free agent pickups. Linebacker's a good spot if you've got some talent, but you're very raw, but you can also play special teams. Linebacker is a place where you can get onto a roster. And I go back to last year and Ben Heaney from Iowa. And look, I said going into training camp, I was totally biased in favor of Ben Heaney just because I'm an Iowa fan. I watched a lot of – what's that? Oh, I'm Ben Neiman, pardon me. Ben Neiman, not Ben Heaney. Ben Heaney's the kid who went to Kansas who played – a couple years for the Raiders. He's bounced around a little bit.
Yeah,
Ben
Raiders.
Neiman, pardon me. Heaney, Neiman. I get him crossed over once in a while. But Ben Neiman is the guy I'm talking about. I was biased in favor of him because I'm an Iowa football fan. And Iowa just turns out solid players year after year after year. Now, the player I really wanted was Josh Jackson, the corner, but that didn't happen. But Ben Neiman, and even when you got to training camp, you could see in Ben Neiman how well-coached he'd been at Iowa. He wasn't the best athlete out there. He wasn't going to take a job from Anthony Hitchens or somebody else, but he was going to find a way to make this roster. And when it comes to special teams, he found a way to kick some ass. And if you're trying to get a coach's attention, and you're maybe a borderline guy, especially an undrafted free agent, and you go kick ass on special teams, that's the way to get it done. So if that linebacker from Texas can learn anything about how to make this team, take a page out of Ben Neiman's book. Ben Neiman's not the biggest guy in the world either.
So after let's take a bigger outlook on this in terms of the whole draft from the AFC West. After seeing what everyone did, whether it be the Raiders, Broncos, or Chargers, who do you think, other than the Chiefs, who had the best draft from the AFC West, or who are you most scared about in terms of not scared, but you look at that and be like, okay, most of these guys and these picks from this team definitely have helped them, you know, going against the Chiefs in the next year or two.
Yes, I like some of the things the Chargers did, but the team that scares me, I'm going to copy you. I don't mean scared. The team that looks like it could have the biggest upside with their collection of draft picks is the Denver Broncos. In my opinion, I think they knocked it out of the park with their first and second day in the draft, and going out and getting Drew Locke in the second round, getting Reisner, the right tackle from K-State, right before Drew Locke. They made a lot of picks at positions that they needed, and they got some really good players. So Denver, to me, is top shelf in the AFC West in terms of teams that might be able to build up and eventually challenge the Chiefs.
I don't think it was surprising, but I guess you expected it from the Raiders in their first round. I just think they could have done better. I mean, I know Marshawn Lynch retired, but getting Josh Jacobs, picking a running back that high in the first round at 24 when you have like a 27th overall pick where you probably could have gotten him maybe, and then going with Farrell. Not saying that Clelin Farrell is a bad player, but going that high up to get him when you could have possibly gotten him at 27 or 24 as well. or even moved up if you knew a team was looking or eyeing that same position, you know, in the late, you know, in the late teens. I don't understand what they were trying to do there. Once again, though, classic Raiders. I'm not saying anything. I'm fine with it. But I mean, maybe we'll all be proven wrong. Maybe Clelin Ferrell will be some insane talent. I don't know. That's the fun thing about the draft. You just never know this early on when people are trying to, you know, put out grades. Well, they got a B minus or they, you know, B plus. It's like, you don't know until you put on the pads, of course, and you get into September or even like 2 years down the line. So we'll just see. I just think the Raiders could have done things differently, but I'm not saying anything. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying they could have done some things differently that I think could have benefited them better, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I thought the Clelin Ferrell pick was a reach. But at the end of the day, and Frank Clark tweeted this out after the draft, it doesn't matter where you get drafted, first round, second round, sixth round, whatever it is. It doesn't matter if you're undrafted. It only matters what you could do on the field. And whether Clelin Ferrell was a reach or not remains to be seen. I thought it was, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I did an exercise after the draft was over. I went through the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. And I tweeted out a big list. I think it took two or three tweets strung together, thread, if you will. There was two or three different tweets with all the players who are in the Chiefs Hall of Fame who were either undrafted or were like seventh round, or back in the day they had 11th round, 22nd round picks. And it's amazing how many guys are in the Chiefs Hall of Fame that were never drafted or drafted super late.
Yeah, I mean, that's I think that's kind of the case a lot of times around the NFL. Look at the Patriots, what they do with a lot of undrafted or, you know, practice squad players, you know, kind of the wash, not the rejects, but just teams have, you know, said cast them away. And then the Patriots, you know, see what their strengths are and literally just tell them to do those things that they are extremely good at. And it works. And you have them on very, you know, very minimal contracts, and you're always under the cap. But that just goes to coaching, scouting, like really breaking down the film and seeing what these guys can do to the best of their abilities.
On that note, we will take a quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is out here with me. We're broadcasting live from the Central Bank of the Midwest, the Kentucky branch in Lawrence, Kansas, 300 West 9th Street. It is Shred It Day. Cars are lined up around the block. If you've got sensitive documents, bank records, financial records, things that you need shredded that you just can't throw out because you don't want somebody stealing your private information, you can bring it by our location today in Lawrence, Kansas, and get it shredded for free. You just pull it right up to the big truck. The bank employees are all standing by helping everybody unload. And if you're coming, please bring some canned goods for Harvesters, the Harvesters Food Project. They got the big blue barrel out there. So, again, Central Bank of the Midwest, Lawrence, Kansas, the Kentucky branch. Come by and see me and Rudy Salazar. Get your documents shredded. Chris Bolig is back at the studio, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. That's right. It's been mandated. It's written into law. When BP's doing the show, Beastie Boys must be played at some point. So thank you, Chris Bolig, for keeping within the laws, our radio laws. They're strict, and we have strict standards here on the weekends. Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Rudy Salazar is out here with me. We're broadcasting live on this beautiful day from Central Bank of the Midwest, the Kentucky branch in Lawrence, Kansas. It is Shred It Day. Folks are coming by with their sensitive documents, financial papers, stuff that you just can't throw away. You can't recycle because somebody will steal your information. You can bring it by today and shred it. The location, as I said, it is the Kentucky branch, 300 West 9th Street. Folks are lined up. The good folks at the bank will help you unload all the documents from your car. Some people have box loads of them. Also, bring by canned goods to donate to Harvesters, and you can wave to Rudy and I. We're broadcasting right in front as people are going by. All right, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to talk a little Kentucky Derby with Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville. He was out at Churchill Downs yesterday. And we'll get the inside perspective on that. And then at 11:30, Josh Briscoe is going to jump in and join us. And we're going to play a little game related to the Kentucky Derby. I can't tell you what it is yet, and I can't tell Josh yet. We played this last year, but if I tell you what the game is, I'm going to give you an advantage. Or I'm going to give you a reason to sneak some information that I don't want you to see.
I will make sure that there will be no information snuck back here. So we'll keep it clean. We'll make sure the rules are all, you know, this is a game of integrity, and I've never played, but I'm sure it's a game of integrity.
Oh, it is. We played it last year. Me and Rudy Salazar and Charlie Carlin, we played this game last year. It was just kind of fun. It's Kentucky Derby related, but we're just having a little bit of fun, and that's okay. Chris, I know we only have a couple of minutes left here, but I saw a hot air balloon when I was coming in this morning. I was coming into the studio. Would you ever ride in a hot air balloon? Have you ever ridden in a hot air balloon?
No, I've not ridden in a hot air balloon. I don't know how I feel about that. I've seen people take off from them, like around at certain parks and stuff around Kansas City, but I've never actually partaken in going in a hot air balloon.
I never have, and I don't think I'm ever going to. Because to me, it's funny. Because look, people have car accidents every day, and hopefully, knock on wood, it doesn't happen to me today or anybody else that's listening. But when I think of a hot air balloon, I think of everything that could go wrong. You know, like the canopy could catch fire, the basket could not be secured and drop, and I'd fall out. The wind could take us the wrong way, and we get carried into electrical wires. These are the things I focus on.
Are you afraid of heights?
A little bit. I mean, I can climb on a roof. I'm pretty good. But like at WHB over the winter, we had those big snowstorms, and Joshua Briscoe went out on the roof to scoop the snow out of the satellite receivers. And I got up there, and I was okay as long as I wasn't too close to the edge. But yes, I do get nervous. When I went to the Empire State Building in New York, I took the elevator all the way to the top, and you can walk around and look all around New York City, and it's beautiful. And they have fencing that kind of curls back to prevent people from falling or getting pushed. But I can only take it for about 3 or 4 minutes at a time, and I had to go back inside.
I'm going to preface this by saying I was not the one who brought this idea up. This was from a caller, Brad.
Okay.
Someone asked, he said, you saw a hot air balloon, right?
Yeah.
He said, was it Jason Whitlock on a roof?
God.
So that was not from me. That is from a caller that is a loyal listener. Okay. That's what we get. That's what we get here at 810. The callers just love being themselves.
That's all right.
But remember, that was not for me. That was from a caller. He wanted to relay that message to you.
Now, very, very important stuff.
Yes.
But back to my point, I'm not riding in a hot air balloon. I'm sure it's beautiful, and I'm sure it's, you know, the sights are fantastic. I just don't think I could do it. I just don't think I could. Also, one final note before we hit to the top of the hour here. 35 years ago today, makes me feel old. 35 years ago today, the movie 16 Candles was released. And Chris, I actually have never seen
16 Candles. I've seen like Breakfast Club, which I know some of the same actors are in, you know, Breakfast Club as 16 Candles. But I've never seen 16 Candles. I've seen Breakfast Club. I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You know, some of the classic. What was the one with Tom Cruise when, what was it? Not Cocktails, but the other one where he was trying to go to Princeton and.
Oh, the football movie? No.
It's the one where he lives in Chicago and.
Oh, yes. And he sets up like a prostitution ring.
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to draw a blank on the title. But
yeah,
I'll just tell you, go watch 16 Candles if you get a chance. It's on TV all the time. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk Kentucky Derby with Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville. That's next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.